Rich Thomas weather from the Blue Water Weather Center. This is Rich Thomas.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. The Tallapoosa County Sheriff's Department needs your help finding a missing man. They say 68-year-old Dwight Smith was last seen around 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon at his home at Slaughter's Crossing in Camp Hill. If you know where he is, call the Tallapoosa County Sheriff's Department. Montgomery police have opened a homicide investigation after a man who was shot Wednesday night died. 19-year-old Terrell Grant was shot in the 800 block of Claremont Avenue and later died. Police say another man was shot, but his injuries are not life-threatening. So far, no arrests have been made. And Mayor Todd Strange says he will not run for re-election next year. Strange has been mayor for 10 years. He says he will gladly talk to any candidates who are running, but will not endorse anyone. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hey, Todd, Liberty Mutual just saved me $782.
$782. Liberty did what?
What? Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Maybe I should switch to Liberty Mutual.
Visit us online to... Hey, stop echoing.
Sorry.
Visit us online to get a quote and you could save $782. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
Paying more for paint doesn't make it better paint. It just makes it more expensive. The Home Depot carries some of the highest quality paint brands in America, but you'd never know it by the price. Like top-rated Behr Premium Plus, starting at only $26.98 a gallon. Look around. You can always find a higher price, but you won't find better paint. Quality paint, lower price, now with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see store for details.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, has died at her home in Detroit.
Hundreds of newspapers printed coordinated editorials in defense of a free press.
Fire officials in California have lifted all evacuation orders for the car fire.
Police in Colorado have now arrested a man after the disappearance this week of his pregnant wife and their two young daughters.
The Turkish lira has rebounded on currency markets.
More than 100 cases of measles this year in 21 states and D.C. That pace would top last year's totals.
Housing starts were up a seasonally adjusted 1.17 million. Last month.
San Francisco leads this year's list of the most unaffordable metro areas when it comes to housing for the middle class.
Casey Kane has announced he's retiring from full-time racing.
Monsoon rains in India's southern state of Kerala.
Consumer Reports magazine says parents should vary their babies' diets to help reduce risks posed by heavy metals in the food supply.
In Afghanistan, people in Kabul say two gunmen who attacked an intelligence compound have been killed by security forces. The standoff lasted nearly 6 hours.
Land that I love. It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. Newstalk 93.1 FM. Dan Morris Show on a Friday, TGIF edition. 87 degrees outside. Stock market, well, it's up 47 points. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
How you doing today, big guy?
Fantastic. How are you?
It's Friday. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
I know.
I'm 2 hours and 53 minutes from starting my weekend.
Nice.
I'm excited. 272-9228, that's where we are. First-time callers need to let Joey, the producer, know when to get your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market $50 gift card, $50 gift card from Fresh Market, and then for any caller that calls in and actually talks to us, we'll put your name in for the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket, which is excelente. You get to pick out your own stuff and create your own basket of joy. Going to be down there this weekend. Also, we've got $11.99 slab of ribs from Cook For You at Fresh Market, Saturday from 11 to 4. 80 slabs is what they're going to sell. So they're going to go until 4 o'clock where they sell out, whichever comes first. I'm going to plan on being there at 12:30 tomorrow after my little workout. Let's do this. Let me play a piece that's talking about officer shot during a traffic stop.
Stories like this just coming too often, guys. A tragedy we hear about all too often. An officer senselessly shot while trying to serve and protect. Police say the suspect shot the officer in the back after both of them got out of their cars during a traffic stop. The officer then returning fire on the driver.
They don't know when they make a traffic stop, what's going to happen in that traffic stop. But at the same time, day in and day out, they get up, they put this uniform on, they put a vest on, and they go out and they protect our community.
Talking about the risks that these officers take every day trying to keep people safe. Fellow men and women in blue anxiously waiting outside the hospital to hear about the officer's condition, showing their support. Police say this man has been on the force only for about a year, a little more than a year. He's pretty new. 34 officers have been killed in the line of duty so far in 2018. Just one more death would equal last year's total number of officers killed, and it's only August. Hopefully, justice will be soon served for one of those fallen officers, Isaac King, pleading not guilty this week to shooting and killing an Arizona state trooper just last month. Tyler Edenhofer died while responding to a call on his last day of training, the 24-year-old previously serving in the Marines. Phoenix police currently conducting a study on why so many officers are being shot in the line of duty and how to stop it. Of course, a lot of people have speculations on why this is happening so much right now.
Let me bring in Chief Deputy for Montgomery County, our good friend Kevin Murphy. Chief, how are you today?
Doing great, Dan. Thank you.
I really appreciate you being in the studio today,
too. Thanks for having
me. It's always a pleasure having you in here.
Always good to see you.
This situation in Arizona, and he's pulls somebody over. He's in a black and white, and he's walking back to his car. The suspect got out of his car, and he shoots the officer in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw a scene, I think it was south of North Carolina, where two officers pulled over a car. The guy reached into his car and starts firing on the officer.
I did, yeah. Two troopers.
You know, you've always taught me that the two most dangerous things out there for an officer is doing just a stop and then doing a domestic violence call.
They are. The two officers that come to mind, Keith Houts in 2006, Anderson Gordon in 97,
mm-hmm.
were both ambushed. They never saw it coming. They were shot walking up to the car. Anderson was just sitting in his vehicle. And, again, unpredictable. There's so many areas where a weapon can be hidden. And like in the incident where the two troopers were being fired upon, if you'll notice, both of them were trying to seek cover.
Right.
They were trying to get behind the vehicle, and one trooper bailed over the guardrail.
After being shot.
Yeah, just trying to seek cover. You know, the first rule of nature is self-preservation. And in a moment like that, an officer is going to try to seek cover to avoid getting shot.
Right. In the state trooper and also in this Arizona case, the person was out of the car. Does the intensity and the danger increase substantially if somebody gets out of their car?
You know, I don't want to overgeneralize. We like for people to remain in the car.
Because I would think you have them, if you're behind them, it's harder for them to get an angle on you.
Correct.
And so that would be...
They have to turn 180 degrees. If they're right-handed, they have to reach over their body. But it's even more awkward if they're left-handed. But, yeah, there is a lot of safety in the fact that they remain in the car. If they get out of the car and they're violent, obviously in a combative situation, you know, they're going to have to fight them. And I've seen instances where the fight dragged out onto the street or the roadway and they were hit by a car that were, you know, was going by. Yeah.
Well, we also have arrested two of the perpetrators of the Hall Street shooting. And this is the thing that really amazed me. One of them is 28 years old and one is 16.
Right.
And it seems they're getting younger and younger and younger. Is the fact that this, and I don't know who the trigger person was on this, but if you're committing a crime and somebody dies during that, even though you didn't pull the trigger, you're still charged with murder.
It's true. I've worked cases before where the suspects went into a home invasion trying to rob another drug dealer, and the drug dealer returned fire and shot one of the bad guys. The other perpetrators that were in it with him were charged with his murder, even though the homeowner is the one that killed him. They were charged with a capital crime.
Well, that also happened in an apartment complex in Southern Bypass, if I remember
it
right.
Has.
They come busted through the door, mm-hmm. and they shoot the people coming in the door, and mm-hmm. then one of the perpetrators died, and they all got charged with murder.
They sure did. Felony murder.
That is serious. And Daryl Bailey takes that very seriously, mm-hmm. too. So what should tell the audience what an officer would want someone to do who gets stopped, and then what would an officer, and you in particular, want someone to do if they have a concealed weapon in their car?
Well, I should preface this by saying the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands of encounters with law enforcement every day are really much to do about nothing.
Right.
You know, a warning is given or citations issued, and then they go on about their day, the citizen. This is a rare occurrence, obviously.
But it's becoming more frequent, though. That's what's so disturbing.
It is. It's very disturbing to the law enforcement community. I talked to some of my friends throughout the country that I went to the National Academy with. This is a phenomenon that we're all discussing and dealing with. Some of it, I think, is going to come down to training. I've seen some of these videos where you have two or three officers fighting a suspect, and as I'm watching the video, I'm like, they're not following, you know, proper procedure here. Like, let's, you know, say that you and I were trying to restrain Joey.
Okay.
And one of us has to go high, and one of us has to go low, and I've seen officers, they're both struggling over his upper body.
Instead of
one person sweeping his feet,
mm-hmm.
and that's a lack of training. And I know in the moment, they're excited, they're upset, that maybe they forget some of their training. But that's when that operant conditioning training over and over again, once a year, get in the gym, get on the mat, and do practical exercises to make sure that it stays in your head.
So is that something that they do at an academy and they forget about it, or is it something that you have to cycle and kind of get repetitive doing it so you just naturally do it?
It's a repetitive thing. It's operant conditioning to the point where you do it instinctively. And, you know, there were partners that I had that we were out riding on patrol. It was a slow night. We got out of the car. We did some takedowns, and we did some training just on the shift.
Mm-hmm.
During the course of a shift, just thinking about it, you know, ground fighting, pressure point contact. I've seen officers who weren't necessarily that big take down a much larger person just using these techniques. And it's not foolproof. You know, somebody that's on meth or PCP is incredibly difficult to restrain and to get in handcuffs. And some people are just damn strong. I mean, country strong, and, you know.
But drugs do have a mitigating circumstance.
They do. I mean, I've been in a situation before where a guy was mouthing at me, and he was calling me a coward and all kinds of words. And I was like, uh-huh, yep, all right. I thought, I ain't fighting you. Wait till my backup gets here, and then we'll settle this. And we did. But, you know, I wasn't stupid enough to think that I could take this guy on. He was huge.
Yeah, it's we ran into one in Miami. This guy was on drugs, and he was yelling threats at the president, and so they were trying to calm him down. They shot that guy with a taser 3 times,
yeah.
And because he was hyped up on, I forgot what it was, but it's like meth or something, sure. He was just like, it was bulletproof.
Well, you asked a question a moment ago, should you tell an officer that there's a weapon in the car? Now, me personally, I prefer, if you have a pistol permit, I don't want to know it. If it's concealed and you have no intention of bringing it out, just leave it in the glove box or leave it under your seat. Let me conduct my business. Now, there are some people, officers, that they'd want to know.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, off topic, off subject, out of sight, out of mind. We're going to conduct a traffic stop. I'm going to issue you a warning or a citation, and you're going to go on about your way. You know, most law-abiding people who have a permit, there's no need to bring it up. Bad guys necessarily aren't going to mention it either.
By the way, officer, yeah. I have a warrant out, and I also have a pistol in the car. Yeah.
But again,
and my phone.
If you don't have any of that at your disposal, you don't know that, you know, let's say he has no warrants, but he doesn't have a pistol permit. There's no reason to search the car, so he's going to go on about his way, you know, anyways. So,
how about, before we go to this break, because I want to get to this New York police training that they're doing on bias training. When you're stopped, you should put your hands up on the top of your steering wheel?
Sure, yes.
Is that normal?
Turn, if it's at night, turn the light on inside the car.
And then when you're reaching for your wallet to show them the driver's license, should you, because what I do is I go ahead and open my glove compartment, get my insurance out, and get my license out.
Most people do.
Let me go to a break. News Talk 93.1. Dan Moore Show, we're going to be back with Kevin Murphy right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
It's a better buy at Brubaker. Say that 3 times fast. Hot weather, preseason football, who will the quarterback be this year? We have thousands of cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to choose from at Brubaker. Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, truck, Jeep, Fiat, Kia, and Infiniti in Montgomery and Prattville. The all-new 2019 Infiniti QX50 compact SUV or the redesigned Infiniti QX80 full-size SUV will carry everything to the lake on Labor Day or to the tailgate. Kia, we will not be undersold. It is a better buy at Brubaker Kia. Try the third row seat midsize Sorento SUV made just down the road. Ask about the friends and family plan to see if you qualify for additional savings. Have you seen? Have you driven? The all-new redesigned Jeep Wrangler. Smoother, still rugged, the off-road SUV you want. Or Grand Cherokee or Cherokee, its slightly smaller sibling. And don't forget Fiat, the even smaller sibling. It is a better buy at Brubaker. All at Brubaker Motors this week. Come experience the Brubaker difference.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Team, I recently learned that a good boss has to know how to delegate. What? That means I get to have other people do the things I don't want to do. So from now on, Tina, you'll be driving me to work. Bill, here's my laundry. Jack, talk to my wife when she calls. Remember, you have to pretend you're interested or she gets really mad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Intellectually honest, philosophically consistent radio. News and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. To Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
All 272-9228, that's where we are. Chief Deputy Kevin Murphy, Montgomery Sheriff's Department. Let's go to this New York Police Department implicit bias training that they're doing. Let's listen to the story.
First on CBS This Morning, a new report out today reveals how some of America's police academies are addressing racial bias in the wake of controversies over shootings and the use of force. 85% of training academies that participated in the government-funded national survey say they have increased implicit bias training for police security since 2015. Jeff Pegues got a rare look inside a training course with the NYPD, whose first deputy commissioner says there is a race problem U.S. police should address.
Experts say that implicit bias is something that we all have, and we make unconscious assumptions about people based on how they look. But police often have to make split-second tough decisions on when to use force for a number of reasons. But trying to make sure those decisions aren't just based on race, that starts with training. Police in New York City and across the country have always trained for dealing with physical threats. And now,
we take people, we put them into boxes.
They are increasingly training to battle cultural ones by taking implicit bias classes to recognize and set aside their prejudices.
Is there an active bias training that happens in either sheriff department or just general law enforcement school in Alabama?
You bet. Takes place every day in a car.
So there's not.
You and I have talked about many times. Nothing can take the place of a mature, experienced,
seasoned,
you know, who has, you know, seen a lot of things, experienced a lot of things. To answer your question, there is some training out there. In fact, I've even attended. It was taught by Dr. Jeff Gwynn on implicit bias. And, you know, you walk away from the class, certainly like you do with any training, with your own set of conclusions. And, you know, there are officers out there in all parts of the country, the world, that are biased, and they react and treat people based on those biases. But just like we talked about a moment ago with the traffic stops, there are so many more that, you know, are professional and don't behave that way. And in my opinion, a good sergeant, a good supervisor can eliminate that problem rather quickly. You pull that deputy in or you pull that officer in and have a counseling session, when you start to see a pattern of behavior that is unmistakable starting to become very apparent. Complaints from a citizen and, you know.
Okay, I was about to say, how do you find that pattern? Is it somebody complaining about it, or is you saying that they had an altercation that involved physical force?
I had a citizen call me when I was a major in patrol at MPD and was complaining on an officer. And about 3 minutes into the conversation, I said the officer's name. He hadn't uttered it. He goes, how do you know? I said, because I've dealt with this guy before. And, I mean, I just knew his mannerisms. I knew the way he interacted with the public. And he was very, very dry, very gruff. You know, was no profanity involved. And he wasn't even being insulting. But he was just being very, I don't know, dogmatic. You know, and that's, again, a good supervisor knows his people. Mm-hmm. And we brought that guy into the office and said, hey, man, you're going to have to soften your approach. You're going to have to work on this. And you know what? He eventually got much better. But, you know, bias to me, again, your conclusions walking out of this training is, have I seen it before? Sure. But the people that are really doing it, they're in denial.
Right.
And that's when the supervisor comes in.
Let me take this call because I want to get into what's creating that bias, in your opinion. Let's go to Randall. Randall, you own the Damo Show with Kevin Murphy.
How you doing, Chief? Hey, Mr. Murphy.
Good. How are you?
Good. I didn't know you may already do something similar to this, but do we go into the schools, or do y'all go into the schools like with a cutaway car and teach the kids, you know, the proper way to handle this stuff when they get pulled over, and what it looks like if they're digging for a phone, what it looks like from y'all's view coming from behind, or they're digging for a license? And this one, if y'all kind of teach them, because, man, kids don't get taught, you know, and that's one thing that may put a little connection in there. They know how to do and how to act.
We do. You know, our SROs talk to the young people, and we have discussions about there's no need to be afraid. Police and deputies are not your enemy. You know, and engaging them, and, you know, they see us at, like, the fishing rodeo and Deputy Dave Day. They see Kevin Murphy or Derek Cunningham as a person. You know, no title. We don't wear our uniforms. We dress casually. So, yes, we do. We have that conversation. We have the DARE program. And engaging them in a situation that is not law enforcement. We're not in uniform. We're trying to appeal to their humanity as well as ours.
But would that be a disconnect, though? I mean, should you be in uniform and let them get used to it, to get used to the light? You know, I mean, I'm not really sure of lights, but kind of, you know, walking through the stages and maybe let some of the younger, you know, cops do it where they can get face-to-face. Maybe, you know, they might pull one of them over, you know, later on in life. I don't know. Seem like the kids want to get on video and be funny now, you know, more than...
You're right. It's twofold. SROs do not teach the DARE program. They wear the uniform. The DARE officers do not work in the schools that they actually visit for the exact reason that you just kind of pointed out. There is a time for the uniform, and then obviously we take it off. Yeah.
Well, we thank you, sir, for everything you do.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thanks, Randall, for the telephone call. Reminder that Mr. Electric is looking for electricians to be working at Mr. Electric. Dan Black, personal friend of mine, great guy, great boss. He needs more qualified electricians. So if you are one, I want you to give Dan a call. Ask for Dan Black by name. Here's the telephone number, 334-269-8886, 269-8886. Mr. Electric is in need of trained electricians. We're going to be back with Kevin Murphy right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
At Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars, it's all about buying confidence and trust. For over 50 years, they've offered a great selection of the finest and best hand-picked cars in the area. These cars have passed a rigid multi-point inspection and are backed by proof pricing and the Jack Ingram Signature Car Stamp of Approval. What is proof pricing? That's Jack Ingram's best price, simple and clear, with true price comparisons from third-party leaders. And when it comes to saving you money, there's nothing better than seeing the proof. Choose from the largest selection of Nissan, Volkswagen, Volvo, Audi, and Porsche certified vehicles in our area, or shop hundreds of other pre-owned mates starting as low as $7,000. And if it doesn't fit in your garage or your spouse doesn't like it, you have 3 days to return it for a full refund. Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars has hundreds of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to fit your needs. And if by some small chance they don't have it, they will find it for you and deliver it to your driveway. Confidence and trust is a Jack Ingram Signature Used Car guarantee.
Come see me, Tip James, at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars on Eastern Boulevard, or shop online at jackingram.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Jurors are deliberating for a second day at the Paul Manafort trial in Alexandria, Virginia. President Trump says about his former campaign manager,
"He worked for me for a very short period of time, but you know what? He happens to be a very good person. And I think it's very sad what they've done to Paul Manafort."
He's accused of tax and bank fraud. The Vatican's responded to a Pennsylvania grand report about seven decades of child sexual abuse by Catholic priests.
The statement said, quote, "We can only express our feelings about these horrible crimes in two words, shame and sorrow." The Vatican went on to say that the Holy Father is on the side of the victims. The Pennsylvania Attorney General described the abuse in these cases as, quote, "The weaponization of faith. Apparently, some of the children were threatened with eternal damnation if they told anyone of their experiences."
Fox's Amy Kellogg in Milan, Italy. Fox News. We report, you decide.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Wet at time over the next few days. For today, scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms, especially this afternoon and this evening. Many towns are going to get wet, but some towns will get skipped. High temperature around 91. Tonight's low 74. Tomorrow and Sunday, locally heavy downpours in spots, scattered to numerous showers and storms around, with a high temperature in the upper 80s to around 90. And not much change in the overall scenario for Monday. Still a generous supply of scattered storms roaming around. If you're traveling out of town this weekend, our free weather app is a great road companion because it knows where you are. It'll give you the current weather, forecast weather, radar, and warnings for that particular area. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
This is Brian Carr of Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating. When it's time to make it new again, it's New Look, where we make it simple, you make it beautiful. Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating, 6237 Atlanta Highway.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Kevin Murphy in the house.
Actually, in studio. It's a pleasure to have him back in here.
Thanks, Dan.
We used to do this on a regular basis, but you
love it.
Busy man out here. Let's play this. Well, let me do this before we play the second part. To me, having taken enough psychology courses to be dangerous here, to me, what happens is you start kind of writing a program in your RAM that you're putting kind of 2 + 2 together, that the people I'm stopping, that I'm giving heart, that I'm arresting because they're warrants out, a particular type of person. So you start being a little more cautious or different with them. Is that kind of a natural thing, and how do you undo that, or do you undo that?
You don't. Actually, I just went to a seminar down at the Sheriff's Conference recently, and they
New Orleans, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it was awful. They talked about hypervigilance. And, you know, it can take its toll on a law enforcement officer over a career, 20, mm-hmm. 30 years. And, you know, I, Dan, nor any of my friends in law enforcement can turn it off. Because, you know, when you walk into a restaurant, you're constantly scanning. And I even had someone say something to me, a place I go into frequently. He said, "Man, you're always looking around." He's one of the managers. I said, "It's just a habit."
Right.
But, you know, when you're walking up to the car, you have your eyes on the cockpit, you have your eyes on their hands. You know, you're trying to discern any possible threat. And, you know, so again, your RAM is set. And it's through years of training. It's not just what's in the academy. But, you know, I tell you, perfect training is these videos that you see on the internet. You can go to YouTube. And law enforcement officers can learn from every single one of those. Citizens can, too.
Interesting. Yeah. Let's play the second piece of this New York Police Department training that they're going through.
Do we tend to get cynical based on our experiences if we have negative experiences over and over and over again?
We can't train enough.
First Deputy Commissioner Benjamin Tucker oversees NYPD training. Officers and recruits are required to attend an 8-hour implicit bias course.
When did that become a priority for the NYPD?
A couple of years ago.
He says the department increased tactical training after the 2014 death of Eric Garner in an officer's chokehold. Implicit bias training started earlier this year.
Do you think that there is a race problem in police departments across the country?
Listen, certainly. I think there are issues around race that are palpable in this country. We have not had the kind of conversation we should have around those conversations.
Even in police departments?
Especially in police departments.
Especially?
I think so.
No justice, no peace!
Protesters have called for policing reforms following a series of high-profile shooting deaths of black men, including Michael Brown in Ferguson, Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, and this past June, Thurman Blevins in Minneapolis.
And
So, and do you think that there's a bias that runs through all police departments?
No.
You don't?
You know, I think it exists. You know, like we talked about a moment ago, there are one or two officers. But I don't think it's a systemic thing. I don't think it's a cultural thing. You know, you have conflict in society, and someone calls the cops on someone who's wearing socks at the pool. I don't know if you saw that
story. I did see that.
And, you know, who do you call? The government. The representative of the government is a deputy or police officer. And so here he is faced with a set of circumstances that it looks like
now somebody put him into.
He's implicitly biased because he's talking to this gentleman about wearing socks at the pool, which is not a crime.
Right.
So, you know, and I perfectly understand why many people and the media think that maybe law enforcement is biased. We get thrust into a situation that we didn't ask for, yet it is our duty as servants of the people to respond to every call. And when I was a major in patrol at the city, I rode around with my guys, and there was a fast food place on Madison Avenue. And when I pulled up, I told the guy, don't ever call us again over this nonsense. He called the police because they got his order wrong at the drive-through window. Yeah. Then there was a service station on the east side. We get a call. I pull in the parking lot. Officers are standing there, and they're arguing. The guy was mad because they wouldn't sell him beer. I said, he doesn't have to sell you beer. Don't call us for this kind of nonsense. But again, does it look like the officers are biased, implicit bias, because we responded to the call? And again, there's some, but that is an opportunity for them to communicate and explain to everybody, the gentleman at the pool, hey, We didn't know the nature of this. We certainly, you know, again, you're not breaking the law, sir. I'm sorry that, you know, we wasted your time. And just tell the people there, hey, it's not against the law to wear socks in the pool. You may not like it. I saw a video, too, of a lady who was shaving her legs in the pool, a public pool. And you're kind of like, okay. Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones and go to Wayne. Wayne, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. You're on with Kevin Murphy.
Hey, good afternoon, Dan and guys. You're talking, is there police bias? You know, the clip that you just played is an example, an obvious example of the press not doing the job they should be doing. They are still lumping Michael Brown in with these so-called questionable shootings of black men. That was investigated by how many different organizations, and that officer was found to be in the right and did all the right things, yet he still had to quit his job and move and relocate and probably change his identity.
Sure.
You know, that's not still a part of the narrative of questionable shootings of black men, so they should not include that name in it.
A lot of times the media, and I've had Dan tell this to me, they're trying to encapsulate a very complicated situation into a 45-minute news blip on the evening news.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. You know, this is
But you know what? It would fit better if they would leave that part of it out. Because it doesn't belong anyway.
Yeah,
it's just an observation.
I agree with you. These are complex social issues that cannot be discussed in 40 seconds.
Exactly. Sound bites. You can't discuss things with sound bites.
Well, it's also whether the media feels it plays into their narrative, and their narrative is white officers shooting young black men.
Right.
And so if that ever happens, if whether just or unjust, it's going to get a lot of attention, particularly on CBS.
Well, and it comes out of the gate as unjust before there's any information.
Yeah, well, there have been more police officers killed than young black men killed by police officers.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for your time, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Wayne. And the other thing they do is they batch in that a police officer shot a young black man, but they neglect to mention the gun that the person had. And particularly the one where you had the three officers pursuing. They all had body cams. And you can see clearly on the videotape, he's turning around. He's saying, don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot. Then he's turning around and he's pulling the pistol out and pointing it towards the officer. Mm-hmm. There's a question of whether a shot was actually, a round was spent. Let's go to the phones to go to Joe. Joe, you're on board with Deputy Chief Kevin Murphy.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Dan, I listen to you all the time. The first time I've ever called into a talk show.
Wait, you want to be a first-time caller?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Joe, give me your month and day of birth.
110.
110. How long have you been listening to the show?
Probably about 4 years.
So you don't like it?
I do like it. I just really got into listening to a lot of talk radio.
What type of work do you do?
I do construction work.
All right. Hard working man. I like that.
Montgomery area, out of Prattville.
So. Well, Joe, I'm going to put your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. Have you been to Fresh Market before?
I have not. Never have.
Oh, man. We're going to do that drawing next Wednesday. So, in the words of Milton McGregor, you may be a winner, too.
I hope so. Maybe so.
What's your question or comment?
Well, the thing is, Dan and Officer Murphy, is what I think we're having a problem with, one thing is the breakdown of the family.
Agreed.
You know, no fathers in the home. I know it's not half, like a 16-year-old. What time of day was that when that shoot took place?
It was night. It occurred at night.
Okay. Well, you know, you look at the Chicago area, things that happen. You know, you've got 11-year-olds. 16-year-olds is being shot, and it's 2:00 in the morning. You know, what are our young people doing on the streets at that time? You know, it's just I don't know. I think about it a lot. I think a lot of it's got to do with families, the breakdown of the family.
Agree. Dan says it all starts at home, and I agree. Nothing takes the place of a wide awake, attentive parent. You wouldn't
That's
need
right.
the government. Heck, I'd probably be out of a job if everybody were responsible in raising their children, but that's not the case.
Exactly. You know, I'm 50, in my 50s, so, you know, I was raised in a different era and a different time. But, guys, I appreciate y'all. Officer Murphy, I thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to back to the phones here. Let's go to Papa John. Papa John, you're on with Chief Deputy Kevin Murphy.
Dan and Chief, something that I was told by my father many years ago, and I tried to pass on to my children, is anytime you work with law enforcement, I don't care what the situation is, you can be guilty or not guilty. The situation is redeemable all the time until you become non-compliant with the officer's request. And all you're going to do then is make it the complex even worse. So if kids would understand, if everybody would understand, if you are in a situation, an interaction with law enforcement, do what the officer says immediately. You do have recourse later on if there's some kind of misconduct on the part of the officer. So if he tells you to stand on your head, whistle Dixie, do your best to stand on your head, whistle Dixie. You can worry about the consequences later on. But the big thing is officers are under constant pressure to make sure they're doing things right. If you do not comply with their request, you're making that pressure multiply. All you're doing is making your situation worse by not doing what they say you can do. And too many times, the non-compliance can come to very unhealthy results.
I'm 55 years old. When I step into Sheriff Cunningham's office, it is Sheriff, Sir, Yes, Sir, No, Sir. I respect Derek Cunningham. I respect the office of sheriff. But, you know, like my children growing up, you know, don't argue with the coach. Do what the teacher tells you.
You just said exactly what my dad said. He said, you got three things to respond with. Yes, sir, no, sir, and no excuse, sir.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I was complaining one day about something my dad said to me when I was a kid. My wife looked at me and said, you didn't turn out so bad. And we laughed. I said, you know, I think that's what's lacking in today's society. You used to see it out on the streets with kids smarting off the police officers. Now you're seeing in the courtroom where kids and parents are smarting off to the judge.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah, really. I saw Judge Price take a kid out who did that.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. You talk about ask your trouble, smart off to a judge.
Particularly Judge Price.
No, you're gonna have a conversation.
All right, guys. Keith, thanks so much for what you do. I'm not in Montgomery County, but I know you and your fellow officers of every lane and every plant you can come from, you guys are doing the best you can every day.
Thank you.
I appreciate what you're doing. Believe me, you couldn't pay me enough to do it.
I love doing it, though. Thank you, though.
Thanks for the telephone call. Let me go to a break. Coming back, Kevin Murphy in the house. Dan Moore Show. We'll be right back.
The Dan Morris Show.
Time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Hi, I'm Cam Marston, and I'm excited to introduce my new radio show called What's Working with Cam Marston. We'll dig into the trends that are shaping today's workplace and workforce. Saturdays, 12 noon, on News Talk 93.1 FM.
The River Region's first and only News Talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Let's go to the phones here, and let's go to Dick Brubaker. Dick, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're on with Kevin Murphy.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hello, Senator.
Just until November, then I'm safe in buck.
You'll always be Senator to me.
Well,
unless you turn into the governor.
No.
We tried that with him, a lieutenant governor.
God in his wisdom would never ordain that, I'm sure. let me ask you a question. Last session, you know, a lot of people were talking about reforming the civil forfeiture laws.
Yes, sir.
And the legislature didn't pass it because we never could agree or never. I think a lot of legislators just weren't sure of their ground, so they just never voted on it.
Mm, yes, sir.
What do you think? I mean, you think we ought to leave the law like it is? You think it needs to be amended, or what do you think? Since you're in the business, so to speak,
I've seen the extreme cases that cause some concern. Any civil forfeiture that I've ever been involved with, either at the city or with the county, was obviously above board. Where you stop an 18-wheeler and he's got $1 million cash wrapped in black electrical tape,
right?
you know, and I've seen some stories of civil forfeitures that I thought were unfair done by law enforcement. So I think that there probably are some circumstances that need a closer look. But any of the ones that I've dealt with personally or on a professional basis, there was no doubt. And, you know, again, the person had every opportunity to make a claim or fight the forfeiture, but they didn't.
Right.
They walked away from it.
Well, that's a pretty good indication right there.
Yeah, they didn't want to
talk about it publicly, yeah. Okay, well, thanks for your comment.
Yes,
I just wanted to get your opinion on it.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Thanks for the comment, Duke. Let's go to Rustaman. Rustaman, you're on with Kevin Murphy.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Great. It was really good to meet you a few years ago at the studio, at Dan Studios. Great. I really, really like when you're a guest on Dan's show.
Well, thank you.
He needs to do it more often, doesn't he?
He really, really does. I want to piggyback on something that Randall said a couple of minutes ago. When the law enforcement engages with the public and kind of lets the community know what their experience is as an officer, I think that really makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Especially with the young people. Dan will tell you, a few years ago, I was telling him how I had such negative experiences with law enforcement. And I decided to do something about it. And this was in 2015, and Dan and I had this discussion at his house. Remember this, Dan?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And what I did about it was I engaged law enforcement. And now I produce the sheriff's television show and radio show in Macon County. And it's the most popular show on TV. Mm-hmm. And what it does is, and I'm on the show with him. And what happens is it makes the sheriff and law enforcement in general look human. It humanizes them. We're on the show joking and having fun and letting the community know that we're human too. We're not just robots. That law enforcement is comprised of human beings, and we have feelings too. And I don't think I told you this, Dan, but the sheriff recently deputized me. I helped him chase some suspects out of the woods with my drone. Brought me on board. But the 180-degree turn I've taken is because I had to see law enforcement as human. And so I think Randall made a good point. If you go into the schools and let the young people know what your experience is when you go up to a vehicle and you see what you see in a person rifling through things, it makes you nervous. And clearly, if you got a family to go home to, you're going to do what you have to do. So my opinion of law enforcement has definitely changed because these are some of the hardest working people that I know. And now that I work with them directly, I see what they're going through. I see the challenges that they face, and I would encourage everybody to support law enforcement. In fact, our TV show is every Thursday night, and we support the Thumbs Up Thursday movement as well. So
excellent.
I applaud your work.
Well, thank you,
Murphy. I really do.
A lot of credit, Sheriff Cunningham. Yeah. We just finished a summer camp, a week-long camp with 100 kids. Their parents got to come up the night before they graduated. But it's a week of swimming and activities, and then there's always something around the corner. We've got a Halloween trick-or-treat. We've got Christmas.
Where do you do the camp?
Wow.
Up at Camp Chandler up in
the Tucker.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, it's a great, great week. Christmas, Deputy Dave Day, Easter. I mean, Sheriff has something on the schedule. Once we finish an event, there's another one coming up.
Yeah.
You have to do the outreach, the community policing, support.
Right.
But you got to do the hard stuff, too. So you're putting pennies in the piggy bank for the day you may have to make a withdrawal.
There you go. That's
good
exactly
concept.
What we do. That's right. It's a good concept. And that's what we do also. We do a lot of functions in the square. We bring guests on the show that have relevant things to talk about. And it also makes the sheriff accountable. Because last year, the sheriff had to fire two individuals from his team. And one of them had actually been on the show. And so the sheriff had to go on. He had some explaining to do.
Rustaman, I hate to break you off here, but I want to pick up another call before the top of the hour. It's always great talking to you, brother. Let me go to Tammy. Tammy, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're on with Kevin Murphy.
Hey, how are y'all?
Good, how are you?
good.
Tammy's always good.
I just want to pick up on something your caller was just talking about. I was a teacher in the school, and it's great, I think, that law enforcement goes in and talks to students and young as kindergarten and reinforce it all the way up through high school level. You know, what's expected also. But the fact that this gentleman that just called that produces the TV show, he should go into school because he had a bad run-in.
Good point.
And I think he would be a very good spokesperson to go in because he's been on both sides of the fences.
That's a great suggestion.
So if he's still listening, which I hope he is, he might consider going in. He'll get a little advertisement for his TV show as well. But I think he would be the person because it sounds like he, you know, had the terrible experience. But now that he engaged them, look where it's come. It's come full circle, and he's on the other side, and he understands them. And I think that probably resonates with people more so than just the police officers coming in and talking.
Real quick question. Real quick question. What grade did you teach?
I taught high school.
Okay. How long ago was that?
I left 2 years ago.
Did you start seeing a degeneration of the students and that it was very different than when you started teaching?
Very much so.
Yep.
And also the way they were responded to. And I'm old school. So
I am too.
I'm old school when it comes to kids. And I also didn't start out teaching. I started out in the public sector. So I didn't go into education with education eyes. I went in with And don't get me wrong about the education eyes, but I went in with a different viewpoint.
Tammy, I hate to interrupt you, but I'm against a hard break.
I just wanted to give the gentleman before me an idea.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was a great idea. Chief, I want to thank you for coming in today, brother.
Thanks for having me.
It is always. Let's do this more often, okay? News Talk 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We'll be back after our top of the hour break.